Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Wednesday night prayer meeting Bible study right here at Calvary Baptist Church. And thank you for joining us once again. And let me just say thank you for your continual watching. I just know that it's different having church by way of Facebook Live, but I guess it's just one of those things that we're going to be doing nowadays. But we're thankful and grateful for this area, this avenue to broadcast the service so that you can watch in the safety of your homes. But nonetheless, it's so good to be here tonight. And we hope everybody's had a good week so far this week. We hope you've been productive, and we've been productive ourselves, trying to stay busy and doing some things, getting some things ready before Sunday. But nonetheless, it's been a good week so far. And I had the opportunity this morning to preach the chapel service at Grace Christian School, where Lily goes, and that was a blessing to be in an atmosphere where young people were singing the praises of the Lord. And of course, Lily, she was singing there, and some friends in her class, and it was just a tremendous blessing to be in that atmosphere, in that environment of young people praising the Lord. Of course, we had a good time preaching this morning at the same time, and just a wonderful, wonderful day today has been from start to finish. And I want to mention a few prayer requests this evening, and then we're going to dive right into God's Word. Tonight, let's continue to remember Brother Allen and Sister Terry Clayton, and I know that she, last I heard, she is doing a little bit better, a good deal better, rather. And remember Brother Allen as he finishes out his quarantine, and looking forward, the Lord willing, to have him back with us this coming up Sunday. That is, if everything works out. But continue to remember them in your prayers. Also, Miss B.J. Williams spoke to me this past Sunday, and she had mentioned that she has to go back for another eye surgery. She just had one done, and she has to go back for another one. And so that was this week. And so let's pray for Miss BJ and her recovery on that eye surgery. Brother Harold Dolph will be going on the 11th. That's March the 11th. At 1 o'clock, he'll be going for his procedure slash surgery, however you want to name it or call it. But let's pray that Brother Harold will get this problem taken care of, and he'll be back on the road to better health. Let's remember Miss Glenda Henderson. She's been home for a couple days with allergies and sinuses, not COVID. So I'm going to rule that out right now, but she has just been under the weather just a little bit, so let's remember her in prayer for a speedy get back and recovery for her. Also, we've been mentioning a friend of Brother David's, and that is Claude. Let's continue to remember Claude, David Henderson's friend, and the family is getting ready to make some decisions on as far as where he's going to stay and who's going to assume those responsibilities of taking care of him. So let's remember Claude. And let's also remember our children's home, Calvary Children's Home. I looked today a little bit online, and it looks like the cottage they've been building, the workers, is coming right along, and it's looking great. And so we praise the Lord for that new cottage there on the campus of Calvary Children's Home. But let's also remember all of our children there. Let's remember all the staff from Brother Snyder all the way down to the house parents and everybody else that has a hand in that ministry. We appreciate CCH, and we're praying for you guys. Let's continue to remember Miss Barbara Anderson, who's in Powder Springs Rehab, she's been receiving many DVDs, let me just say. And so thank you for donating those of you that have donated. She has been receiving those, and hopefully she's been able to watch them. But nonetheless, she wants to say thank you to those who have donated. And again, let's just remember everybody on our prayer list in its entirety. If you have a prayer request, a prayer of praise, or an update, you can notify me and send me a text message, call, or even post online if you feel free to do that during the message. And if you have a prayer request or some kind of update, just let us know. And let's just remember our nation tonight. Let's remember those that are in leadership, all of our first responders. Let's remember all of our sister churches, the body of Christ tonight, as many will be meeting in person and online. But let's just remember that. And let's remember our church tonight, Calvary Baptist Church. And as we navigate through all this, trying to forge ahead and pick up where we left off before all this took place. And so just help us pray about that. And as we attempt to continue moving forward, we got to keep moving forward, church. We can't stay still. You become complacent if you stay still. And so we're moving forward. I feel like that. Sometimes it's in little bits here and there, but nonetheless, we're going to do our very best to focus on some areas where we can get back going again. And so help us pray about that. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer tonight. And we're going to bring a thought to your attention, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. Just something we've been pondering this week in our own personal studies. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name tonight. Lord, we're thankful and blessed to be able to call you Father. And Father, you care about your children. This we know. Lord, you, as an eagle, Lord, you brood over us. You flutter over us. And at the right time, Lord, you stir the nest where God's people are at. And Lord, you nudge us out of the nest when it's time to fly. And Father, thank you for being that kind of Father, the kind of Father that sees potential in His children, that has confidence in His children. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll continually keep stirring our hearts. Lord, keep allowing us to forge forward as a church and as a people. God, we trust in you. These are crazy and uncertain times. And Father, we just want to be productive, and we want to be continue to be that church that is as a light, Lord, upon a hill that gives light unto darkness. So help us, Lord. We pray for wisdom when it comes to Calvary Baptist Church and moving ahead. Tonight, we pray for all these requests from start to finish, Lord, that you would be with each and every life, every person, every situation. Alan and Terry, BJ, Harold, Glenda, David, the children's home, Miss Barbara Anderson, and all of the rest, Lord, that we mention week in and week out, Father, we pray that you would be with every life and every person. And Lord, we ask that you'll be with America and our world, be with the leadership thereof, be with all the first responders. Lord, help us as individuals do our part, God, and be cautionate, be safe, but yet not living in fear, moving ahead for Jesus. We love you tonight. We praise you, and we thank you for Calvary Baptist Church, and we thank you for the cross of Calvary. All of these things we ask, and we praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Tonight, we're going to look into the book of Exodus, chapter number 13, for a few moments. Exodus, chapter number 13. And again, we have the opportunity this morning to preach at the chapel service of Grace Christian School. And again, it was a blessing. But we were in Exodus this morning, and we mentioned something different than we're going to mention tonight from the book of Exodus. A very familiar account here in chapter number chapter number 14, very familiar account here. And this is the account of the crossing of the Red Sea. I did hear a story one time about a preacher who preached on this subject, the crossing of the Red Sea, and how that the Lord divided the waters and he caused them to roll back upon a heap on both sides and allowed the children of Israel to go through on dry ground to the other side. After the service, a man came up and said, "Preacher, I disagree with what you said." He said, "What is that?" He said, "You said that the children of Israel, that God opened up the Red Sea and allowed the children of Israel to go across it on dry ground." He said, "I don't believe that. That's wrong." And he said, "So what do you believe?" And he said, "Well," he said, "there was about 18 inches of water. It was about 2 foot of water at that time. And so they were just knee deep in water." And the preacher said, "Well, that's even a greater miracle that the Lord drowned all of those men of Pharaoh in the chariots and all in 18 inches of water." But tonight, you know, the truth of the matter is, it was a real miracle. The Lord really and truly opened up the Red Sea. He divided the waters and he allowed the children of Israel, by the leadership of Moses, to cross over on dry ground. Tonight, we're not going to re-preach or re-teach some of those same things, but there was something I was looking at this week, and I really haven't spent a lot of time looking at this particular part of the crossing of the Red Sea, but this week, I actually looked in a little deeper, and the Lord got my attention on some things. I want you to notice in verse number 23, Exodus 14. Exodus 14 in verse number 23. The Bible says, "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen." I want us to focus on this idea tonight. And so we know that the Lord divided the sea. And verse number 21 tells us that, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry, and the waters were divided." And then notice in verse 22, "And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left." And so we see that the children of Israel went into the Red Sea on dry ground. But this is what I want us to focus in on tonight, that they were in the midst of their crossing. And we see that the Egyptians actually went in as well on dry ground, and they were pursuing the Israelites. I don't know, I just thought that was pretty amazing. Because here's a miracle that the Lord is performing for the children of Israel, his people. They're going through on dry ground, but then the enemy comes in after them. And so we know that it's the Egyptians, verse 23 says, pursued them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. I had this visual in my head today. Now here's two heaps of water and dry ground. This is the Red Sea. The Lord had opened it up, and in the middle goes Moses and Israel, and then Pharaoh, his horses, chariots, and men. This was really, really an amazing sight, I'm sure, during those days, that time. But what's amazing is that's where the chase ended. That is exactly where the chase ended. The children of Israel went over on dry ground and made it to the other side. But as for Pharaoh and his men, We know that the Lord closed up those waters and they drowned, they sank. And so tonight I actually want to focus in on some things that were involved during this time. Some things that were involved where the chase ended. Again, they were in the middle of the sea, the children of Israel, and Pharaoh was chasing them, both sets of people on dry ground, but then the children of Israel passed over, and Pharaoh and his men were enclosed, and that's where the chase ended. Again, just a few things tonight that were involved concerning this chase and where it ended. Number one, we see that the presence of God was involved. The presence of God. Look in verse number 19. We have in verse number 19 the mentioning of the cloud. Verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And so we have the mentioning of the cloud. Now we know that the cloud here was a symbol or a type of the Lord, and actually it was leading Israel and guiding Israel. It was the cloud by day, and it was the fire by night. Back in chapter number 13, turn to chapter 13 if you would for a moment. Talking about the presence of God here. And we know that in chapter number 13, the Lord was getting ready to deliver Israel out of Egyptian bondage. 430 years, the Bible says. And so he does that with strong arm. The Bible says that he delivers them out of Egypt. In verse number 17 says, and it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. Verse 18 says, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Now drop down to verse number 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And so what we see here is we see that after God had delivered them out of Egyptian bondage, this was the Exodus coming out of. And now the Lord was leading them into the promised land. He didn't lead them straight through the land of the Philistines, and it was the closest way there because of the enemy, the Philistines, men of war, men of renown. And the children of Israel just coming out of Egyptian bondage. Well, they were weak mentally, they were weak physically, and they weren't ready to face anybody for war. The Bible tells us in verse 17, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. And so we see that the Lord was moving his people in another direction because they weren't ready for to go straight on through. And now we have this pillar of a cloud during the day leading the children of Israel, and the pillar of fire by night when they can't see. God was leading them and illuminating their path. Verse number 22, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And so we see that the Lord guided them in the day. He guided them in the night seasons And he did not take away his guidance or his presence. And I want to say in like manner, those of us that know Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, I'm glad that whenever he comes in our hearts to live, he comes to stay. He doesn't just save us and leave us to ourselves, but he's here to guide us during the day. But even in the night seasons when we can't see and we're troubled on every side and we can't see our way through this wilderness because how thick the darkness is, the Bible says that that fire was to give them light. Jesus gives us light in the night seasons. And in fact, he lights up our way. And the Word of God does. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light into our path. And he does not take away his Spirit. And praise the Lord for that tonight. And so we're talking about the presence of God. The presence of God. And now in chapter number 14, as they come out of Egypt, they are now going over by the Red Sea. And we have again in verse number 19, the Bible says, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." And so the first thing tonight that was involved where this chase ended was the presence of God. The presence of God was involved. And again, the presence of God is in our lives to stay. He is with us. He is for us. He enables us. And certainly when the enemy is on our tracks, he is there to defend us. We see the presence of the Lord followed, went with them, Israel, into the Red Sea. And so that's one thing that was involved, the presence of God. Number two, I want you to notice, there was another aspect having to do with this subject, where the chase ended, and that is the pursuit of the enemy. The pursuit of the enemy was involved. First, Pharaoh let Israel go from Egypt. Now, Pharaoh, in Scripture, Old Testament times, is a type of the devil. And we know that he, for a number of years, at least 430 years, this Pharaoh, this type of the devil, he was a very demanding Pharaoh. He was one who dominated. He was one who inflicted punishment and all of those things. The children of Israel were under great slavery. And so this Pharaoh, he was very dominant and cruel. Again, Pharaoh is a type of the devil. And I want to say that before a person meets Christ, they are in bondage to sin. And the devil has his way with them. I remember back before I got saved, living my life in Egypt, and how that every time there was an evil inclination, without hesitation, I would give in to it. But you know, it's the whole thing with sin is there is pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. But after the sin, or after the committing of the sin, back before I got saved, there was always this sadness and this grief to bear. And that's what the devil don't tell you. Even when you get saved and he tries to persuade to sin and he tries to entice to sin, he doesn't tell you how you'll feel afterwards, does he? No. No, he doesn't. And what happens is he gets a person into a place of bondage so they cannot get out. I want to say tonight that Pharaoh had the children of Israel in a place of bondage 430 years. And then the Lord delivered them. They were on their exodus out of that bondage and on their way to Canaan, God's home base for them. So tonight we see that the pursuit of the enemy at first was there in Egypt. That's when he had them. But now the children of Israel are out of Egypt. And they're covering some grounds. They're moving ahead. They have the cloud by day. They have the fire by night. And God is leading, guiding, directing, protecting, and all of those other things. But in chapter number 14, in the very beginning of chapter number 14, I want you to notice in verse number 3, Exodus 14, 3, we see that the devil, or Pharaoh, came back again. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And so we see here that Pharaoh was gearing up. Ultimately, we know that God hardened his heart toward Israel. And so that Pharaoh would go after Israel and that God would perform this miracle and sink and destroy them. And we know that. Ultimately, that was the goal. But Pharaoh was gearing up. Look in verse number 6 of chapter 14. And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Listen, just because a person gets saved does not mean the battles are over. In fact, when a person gets saved, you have different kind of battles. Before you were you had other battles, and then after salvation, now you are battling the flesh, the world, and the devil. And as Pharaoh here, he was gearing up and he was getting ready to go after the children of Israel in like manner tonight. That is the same thing that Satan, his demons, and spiritual wickedness in high places tries to accomplish in the life of the believer. The Lord delivers us out of the house of bondage and we are walking in the newness of life. But then no sooner, no later, old devil and his demons crank up those wheels, those chariot wheels, and he tries to come after God's people. And so there's this pursuit, and it happens over and over again. You read in Scripture where the enemy comes back, and the enemy comes back. But now, they're in the middle of the miracle. Now they have made it into the sea. The Lord had divided the walls of the sea, rolled them back. They're on dry ground, and they're going through. But right in the middle of this miracle is Pharaoh. And I think that's something. What a picture that must be. Again, the divided walls, dry ground, and right in the middle is Pharaoh chasing God's people. Again, that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to chase us. He tries to taunt and he tries to terrorize, but he can't win over us. The end of the book has already been written, and it says that the Christian is the winner. We're winners tonight. Regardless of what goes on down here, regardless of how many wins or losses we may have in a single day, the end of the book says that the Christian wins. And the devil is cast into his own lake of fire. And tonight we have Pharaoh and his men pursuing Israel in the middle of the sea. But there's a third thing I see. Not only we see that the presence of God was involved here, where the chase ended, the pursuit of the enemy was involved here where the chase ended, but also I want you to notice the protection of God was involved here. The protection of God. Look in verse number 19, chapter 14. I mentioned that cloud a moment ago. Now listen to this in verse number 19. And the angel of God, or the cloud, which went before the camp of Israel, notice this, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from behind, before their faces and stood behind them. I think that's something tonight. Because when it comes to this cloud and the fire, it always was in front of them, leading the way. God was leading the way. He was guiding. He was directing in front of them. But now they are approaching the Red Sea and going on dry ground, and this cloud goes from in front to behind. Look at verse 20. And it came to pass, the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And so it blocked the one and with darkness and gave light to the other, and so there was no mix. But then I want you to notice something else. Keep in mind, we're talking about the protection of God. Look it down in verse number 24. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. And so now the Lord is looking through the fire, and he's looking through the cloud, and he is protecting the hinder parts of the children of Israel. And the Bible says that he troubled the host of the Egyptians. That's the Lord protecting Israel, but he's protecting their backs. They are moving ahead and leaving behind the enemy, and the Lord is protecting their backs. Tonight, the Lord not only leads us and he guides us, but he protects us. He protects us. The moment he saved us and called us out of Egypt, and we begin our exodus out, we're walking in newness of life. God performs miracles, and he takes care of us. But when the enemy comes, he protects us. Notice something else, verse number 25. I love this. And took off their chariot wheels. How about that? And took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. This is what happened. Israel's going through, and that cloud has moved from before Israel to behind Israel. And God looked through, and he dealt with the Egyptians. But then, as those Egyptians were coming in their chariots, he knocked the wheels off. How about that? This is one of my main points I wanted to get to tonight. That the devil, his demons, and every spiritual wickedness of high places that comes against us, it's like a chariot with wheels. Sometimes he comes after us. Sometimes he comes after your home. Sometimes he comes after an individual. And sometimes he just tries to wreck, and he tries to ruin. He tries to intimidate. But you see, when the Lord is fighting for you and me, and when the Lord having our backs, the Lord knows how to knock the wheels off. And I will say this, eventually, the thing that chases us, chases you, chases me at times, eventually the wheels will come off. Just keep on living for the Lord. You see, the Lord was in his rightful position as Moses was leading Israel. The Lord was in charge. The Lord guided them to the Red Sea. The Lord opened up the Red Sea, and they were going through on dry ground, and the chariots were coming and chasing them, but the Lord had their backs, and the Lord knocked the wheels off. I want to say tonight that being in the perfect will of God matters. It matters. The Bible says in Proverbs, don't turn to the left hand, don't turn to the right hand, but look straight ahead and go right on. And that's what they did. They went straight ahead to the Red Sea, and God created this miracle. They chased them in, the Egyptians, but God knocked the wheels off. I really had that in my spirit today. That little phrase in verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels. Some of you tonight that are watching, the devil may be on your track this evening. The chariot wheels of Satan may be coming after your marriage. The Satan wheels of the chariot may be coming after your individual testimony as a believer. The Satan wheels of this chariot may be coming after some particular avenue in your life. I don't know, but there's one thing about it. When you allow the Lord to fight for you, surrender to Him, He will knock the chariot wheels of Satan right off. If you notice back in verse number 14, notice what the Lord said to Moses. The Lord shall fight for you, and He shall hold, and ye shall hold your peace. The Lord shall fight. It was the Lord that opened up the Red Sea. To begin with, it was the Lord that got Israel out of Egypt. And now it's the Lord that divided the Red Sea. And so now they are in the middle of God's will, in the middle of the ocean. And here comes His chariots. But yet the Lord took off their wheels. Someone told me today, I thought this was very interesting. Someone told me today that, and I haven't seen the special, the program, but someone told me today that there's actually a documentary from National Geographic, something like that, Discovery Channel, probably Discovery Channel, where they actually researched and went down into the Red Sea, and there was chariot wheels embedded in the floor of the Red Sea. And the archaeologists and whoever does that kind of stuff, they researched. I mean, they looked at those chariot wheels and they researched the ins, the outs. And it was scientifically proven that it dated back to this event in the Red Sea in Bible days. You see, a lot of people try to disprove the miracles of God, like the man I talked to you about earlier. But really, it just puts further evidence upon it. You know? And so tonight we see that this was a real event, of course, but then the Lord took care of those chariot wheels. Chariots are mentioned often in the Bible. Psalms talks about chariots, how that some have trust in chariots and horses. In another place, there was iron chariots, and they troubled God's people because of the kind of chariot it was. It was an iron chariot, and now we have the chariots here. So the Bible speaks a lot. It's an interesting study when it comes to these chariots. But nonetheless, the Lord took the wheels off of this chariot. And so we see the protection of God. And then lastly tonight, the last thing involved where this chase ended, we see the praise of the people. Look, if you would, with me for a moment in verse number 28. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Chapter number 15, a great deal of chapter number 15 deals with the praise. Moses, his song of praise for delivering them from that Red Sea experience. That was another thing that was involved here with where the chase ended, is that the people of God gave God praise. And you know, tonight, I don't have to tell you, you already know, but it's always time to praise the Lord. We need to praise the Lord for what He has done, praise the Lord for what He's doing, and praise the Lord for what He's going to do in the future. Tonight's message is simply that, where the chase ended. And I hope it was a blessing and a help to you. I just know that it was interesting as we looked inside a little deeper to this miracle in the Red Sea. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for who You are, for what You do. I pray, Lord, that something was said that was helpful to Your people tonight. I pray that You would lead, guide, direct, and protect all of us. Get us back safely on Sunday morning, Lord. And I pray that You would show up and show out in a mighty way this coming up Sunday. Save a soul, encourage a saint, would be our prayer. We love You tonight. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone have a blessed evening. God bless. And Lord willing, we will see you back on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock.